Ladies and gentlemen, Doc Leeser here, the podcasting beast from the East with the Professor John Gotti, the king of RNG, the troll master, the data analyzing ninja. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, the conqueror.
Best podcast machine. The cleaner. Least hype machine. The wise man of your reigning, defending, undisputed, and that is undisputed podcasting champion of the world, our tribal chief, the head of the table, the sultan of squat, your hero and mine, always tranquilo, Doc Elidolo. How you doing, man?
I got way too many nicknames now. I got to hurry up and get you some more now. Oh, my God. I'm doing all right. Man, I can't even call it.
All right, this is our penultimate episode for 2021.
Agreed. We got today and then tomorrow and then the next time you hear the sounds of our voice, it'll be 2022.
Yeah, but we'll save all that hoopla for tomorrow. Today, the QB index hit, and we're going to talk about it for the penultimate week of NFL regular season football as well. Have apropos.
Big apropos.
Doc, we really didn't have any movement for number one and number two. Still top of the QB index, we have Mr. Discount Double Check himself, Aaron Rodgers, he's getting the respect now. His team is winning. The defense is playing awesome, too. He's only has 7 turnovers in the whole season. I mean, geez.
Yeah. No, huge.
Yeah, so when he goes a pick, it's kind of a big deal.
Agreed. I don't know. He's playing really great. Is it MVP season? I think turnover-wise, the lack of turnovers, I would say yes. I mean, I think
it's a yes overall, honestly.
I mean, if I'm being honest, and this is just me being honest, mm-hmm. when you look at the next 3 guys and their numbers with just 1 extra game, not just like, being 400 yards ahead of him, but close to 1,800 yards, similar touchdown numbers. I mean, I don't know. That's where I think Jonathan Taylor should get it, because I don't think Aaron Rodgers is really separating himself. When you look at the numbers outside of the interceptions for the other quarterbacks, pretty much in the top 5. 35 touchdowns, 33 touchdowns. Brady has 37. Herbert has 33. Joe Burrows has 30. Josh Allen has 34. So 33 touchdowns isn't really separating him from the other quarterbacks, in my opinion.
I mean, I understand where you're coming from. I think we got so used to how the NBA likes to gauge the MVP, even though they have no clue what the bleep is an MVP anymore. That we're just looking at those. I think for me, I'm looking at quality of work overall. I mean, and of course, we still make the argument with Tom Brady. Of course, we both think that Jonathan Taylor should definitely be the MVP, but unfortunately, the MVP is still a quarterback award.
And I would say this also, and this is the other part, the Packers won without Aaron Rodgers. I forget who they beat, but I don't think it matters. They won a game without Aaron Rodgers. I don't think the Colts are winning.
He also won a game without his top receivers too.
Yeah, but again, that's something that we've seen over and over. I mean, Tom Brady just won without his top receivers. Also.
No, and I know that. I only say that because they made such a big deal, and why everyone had the Cardinals winning that game. That he didn't have receivers, that he needed those receivers.
I don't think Aaron Rodgers or the Green Bay Packers need a receiver. That's why they don't draft him. That's why they don't draft him.
Much to Tom Brady, number two. Tom Brady, number two, of course, another MVP candidate within his own right. I mean, Corona Chan and injuries have been unfortunate to his weapons all season long. And of course, suspensions as well for the aforementioned Antonio Brown. Mm-hmm. But he's still putting up numbers. He's still getting TDs. I mean, 11 picks, but I mean, Doc talked about it before. Not all of them are his fault. There are some where he throws some errant passes, but you know, others it's, you know, tip drills or the receiver's not going where they're supposed to go. I mean, it's really hard to fault a lot of these quarterbacks because he's not really trying to force it in.
Now we're talking about 11 interceptions where obviously when you look back at Jameis, you know, not just the 30 for 30 year, but you know, the 16 interceptions, the 18 interceptions, you know, a lot of those were batted balls, but we're talking about some of them were really on Jameis. Some of them were not on Jameis.
Yep.
So
this
with
is,
Tom,
this is the first Doc is talking about this in like 2 years, folks. I'm just like,
right. So with Tom, honestly, some of them are the routes not being ran to either the depth that they need to be ran. Because that's where it's like Tom is always like, hey, do your job. I mean, obviously, you know, he throws a screen to Mike Evans 1 week and it pops up in the air for a pick six. I mean, there's nothing you can do. You know what I'm saying? But I don't know. There's the 44-year-old, you know, number being thrown back in there.
Honestly, it really doesn't matter. 44-year-old, he's still playing elite, you know, quarterback.
Yeah. I think he'll do 1 or 2 more years. I think I'm honestly thinking he's going to do 23 years. He's going to do the Mike Jordan, the Michael Jordan thing, you know, go 23 years and call it, in my opinion.
Okay. I see what you did there. Number three, we have Justin Herbert. Trust in Justin Herbert. Again, his team lost. I mean, I don't think it's him. It's not him. We keep saying their defense is suspect. I don't know what that throw was that sealed the game against the Texans. Like,
yeah,
I'll probably more put it towards it was a Justin Herbert miscue.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Honestly, just like most quarterbacks, just trying to win the game. You know, you try to win the game on a throw.
I feel like that concept has always been a double-edged sword, though, when it comes to people talking about their ability to win games. Well, you're not being aggressive enough. Then when they become too aggressive, well, you're being too aggressive. There's no satisfying people. But Justin Herbert and the Chargers, they're playing really well. Justin Herbert's having an incredible season for him. For this to just be his second season, and of course, we're going to get to number four as well, too. They both have had incredible sophomore seasons. Sophomore slumps? What?
Which I told you that they would always be linked within 1 or 2 slots of each other.
And now they're back-to-back. Yeah. To coin a phrase. And number four, we have Joe Burrow. I mean, Kitty goes meow. Their defense is playing great. Their offense, when it decides to play, you know, plays amazing. This was a hello, we are here game for the Bengals against the Ravens.
I like what he said. He said, you know, when asked about, I guess, pouring it on, he said, you know, well, they did it to us last year.
They did.
This is Pee Wee. This isn't high school. This is not college. This is the NFL.
Yeah.
If you don't like it, then stop it. And then that sounds like something, you know, Cam that we heard from Cam.
Cam said exactly that.
You heard the same thing from, you know, New England, you know, back in the day.
Well, and it's that, and plus we've seen the Ravens come back.
Yes.
So for the reporter to ask that question, knowing what the Ravens have done this season alone, come on, I have to look at that reporter sideways. Like, and then if the Ravens come back, well, how did you allow the Ravens to come back in this game? Again, it comes back to that double-edged sword thing. Like, you can't have it both ways. Like, their job out there is to win. And if it just so happened that they poured it on, then, you know, like the great Ivan Drago once said, if they die, they die.
No, I hear you.
Speaking of not dying, number five, Josh Allen.
Josh Allen back. He struggled for a couple of weeks.
He did. He did. Again, I didn't look at it as him. It was always their offensive line, and it was their defense. I mean, granted, the game that everyone's talking about, the game where, are you embarrassed that they only threw the ball five times and you still lost game?
Right.
No, it was three times. But it was never Josh Allen. Now, while I don't like the fact that he is running so much, like,
right,
you know, him having to run through tackles, I have a problem with that.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. Especially if it's getting deeper in the season and y'all trying to make a Super Bowl run, like,
right,
that's going to hurt you in the long run. But he's still putting up monster numbers. He's still, you know, and it's not just him to Diggs, kind of like how it was towards like week 3, week 4 of the season. It's him to McKenzie. It's him to Sanders. It's him to Knox, who's now his, you know, favorite target as well. Like, right, he's spreading the ball out.
Oh, I agree.
And he is straight up throwing dimes.
Yeah. And he's, he's running all over the place. He's passing all over the place. I mean, you got to give him a lot of credit for the thing that he's able to do. And they're still in it. I mean, before he had his short stumble, he was an MVP candidate.
He was.
But here we are, you know, they're battling now
to clinch the AFC East. We'll get to that in a second.
But number six here, the guy who really stumbled this season, Patrick Mahomes, but still managed.
And again, it wasn't him. It was just the team stumbled. Like, it wasn't just him. The whole team stumbled out of the gate. The expectation was, oh, they're going to go to a third straight Super Bowl. And then when they slid in the first four games, you know, going 1-3, people said, oh, the Chiefs are done. They're washed. You heard them say that, Doc. We heard them. And we both said, just wait.
I didn't know. I mean, there was a lot going on.
There was a lot going on, but they also had a very young offensive line. And similar to what Doc said last year with the Bucs offensive line,
right,
it takes a few weeks
it does.
For them to create that chemistry. And it happened around, what, week 7-ish, maybe? This year for the Chiefs, that the offensive line started to play a lot better. And it reflected in how they was able to win games.
No, I agree.
Doc has mentioned over and over again how important the offensive line is in football. Your quarterback could be the greatest ever, but if he don't have an offensive line to help him, to at least give him a few seconds to be able to throw that ball, he ain't throwing the ball.
I agree. And the Chiefs did a great job, you know, putting this offensive line together, two rookies, obviously, and they traded for one lineman, you know, picked up another in free agency, pretty much shuffled their whole offensive line because of, you know, what happened in the Super Bowl. It's looking good. Will they be able to go far into the playoffs? We'll have to wait and see.
But they are a very dangerous team heading into the playoffs, though. They have clinched their division as well, too, so they are guaranteed to be in there.
Yeah. Now, the number seven, Kyler Murray, he's falling at the wrong time. The Cardinals are struggling at the wrong time. It's tough, you know, very, very tough. You know, I don't know, you know,
it's so hard to look so strong at the start of the season, but it hurts so much to to stumble into the playoffs. You do not want to stumble into the playoffs, especially if you're the Cardinals, especially if you're Cliff Kingsbury. To stumble again into the playoffs.
I don't know, man. It's so crazy.
Well, all it's I so can crazy. Think of is like the one play that defined their stumble is the intentional grounding safety. Like against the Colts. Like that was the definitive moment of, yeah, something really bad is going on.
Yeah. And this is kind of what happened last season, you know, like it was like, hey, you know, here we are, we got this, you know, playoff championship run. And, you know, Doc Leisner is like, I need Kyler Murray to play well. And then he doesn't.
Nope.
You know what I'm saying? I need him to play well. And then he freaking Montreals me.
That's not good. Number eight, dropping three slots. And Kyler dropped four, by the way. Dropping three slots at number eight, we have Matthew Stafford. Again.
Right.
Offense, awesome. Defense, elite. But Matthew Stafford, I don't know. I don't know. I think it was some type of PTSD from playing with the Lions and getting so close to the big dance. And suddenly he's throwing, you know, multiple picks a game. And it's been, that's going to be this team's kryptonite, whether or not he wants to play like Matthew Stafford at the start of the season, where he looked like an MVP candidate within his own right, or playing like Matthew Stafford of old, who, you know, played for a really bad franchise with a really bad front office that didn't give him the help that he needs. And he's trying to, you know, throw bombs out there in an empty field that's leading to turnovers for the opposing defense. But, I mean, he still has Cooper Kupp. He has OBJ, who, again, we kept talking about them creating that chemistry within each other, and it's been working out so well. Their run game has been improving. It's just a matter of whether or not Matthew Stafford is actually going to become that elite passer into the playoffs. And we have to wait and see as we're going through these last 2 weeks of the regular season. But he's thrown 4,300 yards, 36 passing TDs, but 13 interceptions. I think he threw like six interceptions within the last 2 weeks alone. And that is a cause of concern. It's a huge cause of concern, especially if you're a Rams fan. You don't want that to happen. But let's go to number nine. Number nine, we have Dak Prescott. Again, he's still giving us great fantasy numbers like I predicted at the beginning of the season. I never said he was going to be the top QB in the league. I just said that he's going to be one of the best in the fantasy.
True.
But the Cowboys offense finally decided to show up with the defense. And it was against the Washington football team that was there? Question mark, question mark. I mean, they was more... They would have. They'd rather be petty by bringing their own bleachers to Arlington than caring about winning this game. And outside of one like stiff tackle to Dalton Schultz, that was the only thing that they did well in this game. But Dak Prescott is slightly getting hot. We have to see how the rest of their schedule goes. Of course, they have the Cardinals and the Eagles. The Eagles are a very dangerous team, a team that they don't want to lose to, especially they don't want to face in the first round of the playoffs at all. But we have to see how they close it out. Cowboy Nation is throwing adulations all around, but it's only one game. That's it. Right. Only one game. No, the last three weeks prior to this Sunday night game, the offense was not playing very well. And just because they had one monster game against a team that essentially ready to throw in the white flag for the season.
Punches. And punches.
And punches. Well, to each other.
To each other. Oh, what
like, this is not a huge bout of confidence. Let's see it happen in 2 weeks. Let's see if that can emulate the same success next week.
Agreed. Number 10, here we got Derek Carr. Oh, how apropos. Number 10, here we got Derek Carr. I feel bad for Derek Carr. I mean, what a season this has been for the Raiders.
It's been a roller coaster.
Las Vegas has not been kind to the Raiders at all so far, nor have the Raiders been kind to Las Vegas. They look like a brand new franchise, like a team that's like starting from scratch. And unfortunately, I believe that they're going to have to start from scratch with the quarterback. I don't think that Derek Carr is going to be their quarterback.
Which is crazy because he is one of the reasons why they're still in the playoff race.
You know,
like, that's the part that's crazy. Like when Gruden was still there, I could accept that statement because he didn't like Carr as much. But now that he's not there anymore, this should still not become a hot take. This hot take should be stone cold dead doc.
This is an intriguing opportunity for a new head coach to come into. If they, you know, and that would be their decision whether they decide to keep Derek Carr or not, of course. But, you know, having Josh Jacobs, obviously you have the whole Henry Ruggs situation. So that's a first round pick thrown out the window. I think they lost a corner also that was a previous first round pick. So it might be an opportunity for them, the ownership, you know, the Davises, right? They say, you know what? We're going to hit the reset button. You know what I mean? We're getting rid of everybody. You're going. And you, all y'all, out of here. You know what I'm saying? And we're going to start over. And it might take, you know, bringing in, you know, a guy, you know, that you gave me a book for, right? A certain Lombardi, right? Or somebody of that nature to help in this head coaching search. You have some good people out there. Do you want to be offensively better? Do you want to be defensively better? We talked about some of the people that are out there. Honestly.
Which is, of course, apropos because they got rid of one of the best defenders in the league when Gruden first got there, too, which is even crazier. Right.
Which was a statement, and I understood, you know, you had to make a statement, but I think that was not the statement you wanted to make. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. Khalil Mack in Chicago has not lived up to the same hype as Khalil Mack in, I guess at that time, Oakland. I'll say that.
Outside of his first year with Chicago, but Chicago is wrong with Chicago.
Right. I agree. He'll probably be better if he gets out of there, but
yeah, I don't like Chicago. I don't getting out of there is screwing Chicago.
I would love for him to come to Tampa. But that's not what I was going to say. I was going
to
talk about...
That was exactly what you wanted to say.
That's not where I wanted to go. I really wanted to go more with the coaching opportunity for the Raiders. Obviously, they're playing with the interim. I don't think he's going to get the nod. I mean, all due respect to him. But this would be a great opportunity for a young head coach to come in. Maybe a Leftwich. Heck, maybe even a Raheem Morris.
Raheem Morris deserves the chance.
I think Raheem would be a good fit. A Dennis Allen. I think he might have had a run with the Raiders before. Possibly, I think he did.
He did.
But you know, somebody to come in and energize this team. I keep saying
someone young, and like it had me think of our story yesterday with Kellen Moore.
Kellen Moore, I could see him vibing in with the Raiders. I could see him really getting a. I could see him doing good with the Raiders. I don't know. The problem is that the offense for the Cowboys has been so pedestrian, and they have great weapons. You know what I mean? Like, they have some really good weapons. And I don't think they've done it. But they have some questions. Zeke has been pedestrian. Dak, he's been up and down, but we'll have to wait and see. But it's just some notable others in the, you know, the QB index here. Ryan Tannehill jumping back to number 12. Carson Wentz, although he's out, you know, with COVID on the COVID list, is up to 13, you know, finally getting into the playoffs. A healthy season where he doesn't miss the playoffs, right? Hopefully. Finally, he gets a chance. But interesting enough, you know, although the Dolphins are playing well, Tua's still at number 19. But you know what? Johnny, I know the people heard this podcast on their favorite podcast platform, but if they didn't, they can always go to our website at www.debateamongstfriends.com to review this episode as well as all the previous. Be sure to tune in tomorrow as we go over the playoff clinching scenarios as well as our predictions for all of your weekend games. Tune in tomorrow for more news, more analysis, and the reads.
For the bread.